Chapter 17, Section 1. The Conflict Takes Shape. In this section, we will explore the following questions. What strengths and weaknesses did the Confederacy have? What strengths and weaknesses did the Union have? What special qualities did President Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson Davis possess? Define racism and martial law. Identify border states and Robert E. Lee. Setting the scene. In April 1861, President Abraham Lincoln called for 75,000 volunteers to serve as soldiers for 90 days in a campaign against the South. The response was overwhelming. Throughout the North, crowds cheered the Stars and Stripes and booed the Southern traitors. Southerners were just as enthusiastic for the war. They rallied to the Stars and Bars, as they called the new Confederate flag. Volunteers flooded into the Confederate Army. With flags held high, both Northerners and Southerners marched off to war. Most felt certain that a single, gallant battle would bring a quick end to the conflict. Few suspected that the Civil War would last 4 terrible years and be the most destructive war in the nation's history. A nation divided. As the war began, each side was convinced that its cause was just. Southerners believed that they had the right to leave the Union. In fact, they called the conflict the War for Southern Independence. Southerners wanted independence so that they could keep their traditional way of life, including the institution of slavery. Northerners, meanwhile, believed that they had to fight to save the Union. At the outset of the war, abolishing slavery was not an official goal of the North. In fact, many Northerners, guided by feelings of racism, approved of slavery. Racism is the belief that one race is superior to another. In April 1861, 8 slave states were still in the Union. They had to make the difficult decision of which side to join. Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Arkansas joined the Confederacy. The 4 border states of Delaware, Kentucky, Missouri, and Maryland remained in the Union. See the map on page 449. Still, some citizens of the border states supported the South. For example, in April 1861, pro-Confederate mobs attacked Union troops in Baltimore, Maryland. In response, President Lincoln declared martial law, or rule by the army instead of the elected government. Many people who sided with the South were arrested. Strengths and weaknesses. Both sides in the conflict had strengths and weaknesses as the war began. The South had the advantage of fighting a defensive war. It was up to the North to go on the offensive, to attack and defeat the South. If the North did not move its forces into the South, the Confederacy would remain a separate country. The South. Southerners believed that they were fighting a war for independence, similar to the American Revolution. Defending their homeland and their way of life gave them a strong reason to fight bravely. "Our men must prevail in combat," one Confederate said, "or they will lose their property, country, freedom, in short, everything." Also, many Southerners had skills that made them good soldiers. Hunting was an important part of Southern life. From an early age, boys learned to ride horses and use guns. Wealthy young men often went to military school. Before the Civil War, many of the best officers in the United States Army were from the South. The South, however, had a serious economic weakness. See the chart on page 450. It had few factories to produce weapons and other vital supplies. It also had few railroads to move troops and supplies. The railroads that it did have often did not connect to one another. The South also had political problems. The Confederate Constitution favored states' rights and limited the authority of the central government. As a result, it was difficult for the Confederate government to get things done. On one occasion, for example, the governor of Georgia insisted that only Georgia officers be in command of Georgia troops. Finally, the South had a small population. Only about 9 million people lived in the Confederacy, compared with 22 million in the Union. More than one-third of the southern population were enslaved African Americans. As a result, the South did not have enough people to serve as soldiers and to support the war effort. The North. The North had almost four times as many free citizens as the South. Thus, it had a large source of volunteers. It also had many people to grow food and to work in factories making supplies. Industry was the North's greatest resource. Before the war, Northern factories made more than 90% of the nation's manufactured goods. These factories quickly began making supplies for the Union Army. The North also had more than 70% of the nation's rail lines, which it used to transport both troops and supplies. The North also benefited from a strong navy and a large fleet of trading ships. With few warships and only a small merchant fleet, the South was unable to compete with the North at sea. Despite these advantages, the North faced a difficult military challenge to bring the South back into the Union, and Northern soldiers had to conquer a huge area. Instead of defending their homes, they were invading unfamiliar land. As Union armies invaded the South, their lines of supply would be much longer than those of the Confederates and thus more open to attack. Wartime leaders. Leadership was a very important factor in the Civil War. President Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy, President Abraham Lincoln of the Union, and military leaders on both sides played key roles in determining the war's outcome. President Jefferson Davis. Many people thought that Davis was a stronger leader than Lincoln. Davis had attended the United States Military Academy at West Point. He had served as an officer in the Mexican War. Later, he served as Secretary of War. He was widely respected for his honesty and courage. Davis, however, did not like to turn over to others the details of military planning. When he made a decision, according to his wife, he could not understand any other man coming to a different conclusion. As a result, Davis spent much time arguing with his advisors. President Abraham Lincoln. At first, some Southerners had doubts about Abraham Lincoln's ability to lead. He had little experience in national politics or military matters. In time, however, Lincoln proved to be a patient but strong leader and a fine war planner. Day to day, Lincoln gained the respect of those around him. Many especially liked his sense of humor. They noted that Lincoln even appreciated criticism with a smile. When Secretary of War Edwin Stanton called Lincoln a fool, Lincoln commented, "Did Stanton say I was a fool? Then I must be one, for Stanton is generally right, and he always says what he means." Military leaders. As the war began, Army officers in the South had to make a choice. They could stay in the Union Army and fight against their home states, or they could join the Confederate forces. Robert E. Lee faced the dilemma when his home state of Virginia seceded. President Lincoln asked Lee to command the Union Army. Lee refused, but he explained in a letter to a friend, quote, "I cannot raise my hand against my birthplace, my home, my children. I should like, above all things, that our difficulties might be peacefully arranged. Whatever may be the result of the contest, I foresee that the country will have to pass through a terrible ordeal." Later, Robert E. Lee became commander of the Confederate Army. In fact, many of the best officers served for the Confederacy. As a result, President Lincoln had trouble finding generals to match those of the South.